Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the Ecom Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And we are fresh off of ECF Live. It just happened in Bozeman, man, just a handful of days ago. And it's always a fun event, but this was especially cool because having people come to your town and be able to see them exploring the places you normally go to and love and seeing them enjoy them was really fun. And it just, I don't know, there was a cool vibe to the year. Just a good feeling about, just a general vibe. That sounds very, very hippie and woo-woo-y, but it's true. It was a lot of fun. And I was hoping to talk to you about it today with kind of per the regular tradition, Bill D'Alessandro, longtime collaborator, cohort, partner in crime. But we had some stuff pop up, as life does. I had an unexpected meeting for kid stuff. He was in the middle of moving. And to be honest, just feeling a little disjointed, trying to catch up on stuff from after the event, trying to balance a lot of things, feeling pulled in a million directions. You know how sometimes there's often people will say, you will often say, I will say, I'm so excited for when things are going to calm down, like after such and such happens in October, when I finish this event, it'll be so nice when things are calm and I can kind of, you know, get back to a normal schedule. That's what people say in perpetuity until they fall over and die, because it never seems to happen. Anyway, all this to say, this little mini rant that you're having to listen to while I'm on the sofa here, laying on my back and talking to you, is all to say life is busy. There's a lot pulling at your attention, especially as an entrepreneur. And two things. One, just kind of being open and honest that, yeah, man, I'm feeling all over the place this last couple of days, have struggled to get things done and balance the many pulling forces in my life. And two, that's what the podcast is going to be about today, partially because I think it's an important topic, partially because I have 4 hours to get an episode out because I was going to record with Bill and now we're not going to do it. And we have to do it. I have to do the recap with Bill. It's so fun. So we're going to be doing that next week. And today, going to be talking about how I think about priorities, the matrix I have for trying to triage things in my life, frameworks for making decisions, the things I'm trying to focus on as the business owner. Like, what are the things you really should be focused on when you have so many things coming at you, the things you can pare back and the things you can't. And then also some cool tools I have discovered recently for scheduling and making the most of your schedule. So that's going to be the episode today. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you for playing therapist. Hopefully the rest of the time will be more productive for you listening. And let's get into it right after this. All right. So I think an interesting place to start here is to think about like how you prioritize things in your life, because you have so many things coming at you as a friend, a parent, an entrepreneur. And I think the most important thing is to think about what's most important and how do you try to prioritize those? And this is a hard thing to talk about, because the first thing I did was, I remember I was flying back from Singapore with my family after part of the gap year that we had recently. And I had like 14 hours on this flight to think and ponder. And so I spent a bunch of time journaling. And one of the things I journaled about was the things I wanted to spend my time on, the way in which I wanted to prioritize my life. And I think the problem with this is we have this aspirational idea of how we want to spend our time, and then we have the reality of it. And so, you know, for example, like I was listing these out, and the first thing I was going to talk about was my aspirational version. And I put my faith as the number one thing. And while that is a very aspirational thing for me, if you look at my calendar, that is not the number one thing in my life. I really hope it is someday. But even if you look at like that compared to my family, or if, you know, it's realistically not. I wish I could say it was. And so I think there's this very difficult thing in what you say you are prioritizing and what you really are prioritizing in your life. And so for me, the things, the aspirational ones I'm trying to prioritize apart from that are, number one was health. And I think this is kind of a weird one maybe, because you think, well, why wouldn't you put family there? And for me, that process was like, if you're not in good shape, you're not going to be able to take care of your family well. And I don't just mean good shape, like, hey, I can bench press, you know, 800 pounds. One of the things I talked about at the event briefly, and I've mentioned on the podcast before, is you know, I struggle in the winters when it gets cold. a little seasonal affective disorder. And if I'm not taking good care of myself there and getting out, getting sun, you know, trying to address that healthily, then I'm not going to be in a great shape to be a good leader for my family. So I think health is a huge one. Right after that, I put immediate family. You know, like I mentioned this morning, Bill and I had this podcast scheduled, had to axe that because I had a really important appointment with my wife and my daughter that I totally spaced about. After that, I would put work. Then I would put extended family and friends. And then at the bottom, personal development, which is like hobbies, adventures, things like that. So that, when I think about the priorities, these are the things I'm really trying. Having a hierarchy is super important, even if it's an aspirational one and you know, imperfect, writing it out so that you can help make decisions. Because a lot of times the decisions are not fun, but having something like this helps with that. So I think it's a great first step, even if it's imperfect. There's also a couple frameworks that have been super helpful for me. And this is kind of a very small part of the podcast today, but in terms of how you think about helping people that are inbound requesting your time. As an entrepreneur, maybe it's people on your team, maybe it's people in your community that probably have, you know, for whatever reason, are coming to you asking for help. And one of the huge, probably the single most important interpersonal frameworks that I have come to believe deeply in over the last 2, 3, 4 years is that I love helping people when they are deeply committed to change for themselves. But if I don't see that they are deeply committed in making some steps towards changing whatever it is they want to do in their life and they're asking for help with, I am not going to get involved in helping them, because I think 99 out of 100 times, it's going to be a waste of time. Maybe that sounds cynical. I think it's just very realistic, and you can't change other people, even though I've tried a lot of times, I imagine other people have. So that's one. The other one is this will vary by everyone's business, but like when I think about people who are looking for help or reaching out to connect about things, because it's really difficult. Like all of us have a million things that we're trying to decide between. The people I've decided I want to help or connect with, especially on a business front, are either people that are in ECF, that are the primary people I'm trying to serve, or if they're especially young entrepreneurs that have some motivation or some momentum behind them, I'm going to try to make try to make time for them. Not always, you can't do it always, but those are kind of two of the frameworks that I use to filter out requests for help and at least on the business side of things. So I think having these frameworks is helpful. So how do you think about when it gets just to the business side of things? There's a million things we could be doing in our business. And one of the talks that we had this week at ECF Live was by a guy named Ayman Al-Abdullah. And this dude is just a killer. I met him, I don't know, back in 2012, 2013, at a Dynamite Circle event in Berlin, Germany. And we've kind of stayed in touch on and off ever since, got a chance to reconnect recently. He went over to Noah Kagan's company and AppSumo, and he scaled it from like 3 million to, I don't know, 80 million in sales. Just a really impressive guy. He gave a talk that was one of my favorites of the whole conference. We'll talk about it a little bit more later on how to go from leader to CEO. And I'm stealing this framework from him. I saw it posted once on LinkedIn, and I think it's an amazing framework for thinking about as an owner where you should be spending your time. This kind of, one of the things that prompted me to revisit this today of all days was, we're going to go through the five things he says as a CEO you should focus on are: 1, vision; 2, culture; 3, hiring; 4, allocation of resources; and 5, ensuring financial viability of the business. Again, there's a lot there. Let me state it one more time, one more slowly, and I want to have some comments on each one. First, vision, culture, hiring, allocation of resources, and ensuring financial viability of your business. More or less, you don't run out of cash. And I was having a talk with someone after ECF Live, a long talk, probably talked for an hour plus about this. This year, they doubled their business while working less. And it kind of came out of place, not of necessarily because they're, you know, they were trying to do a lifestyle thing, but they made a very fundamental change in their business because they were at a level they were burnt out. And they either needed to really see some meaningful growth or they were just going to, you know, kind of close up shop. And when I dove in, the thing that they most specifically attributed to this massive shift in the growth of their business, even though they were working less, was all about leverage. You know, specifically, they mentioned that they just got a lot better at ignoring emails that didn't matter, at not doing projects that took a lot of time but didn't help, you know, their ultimate goals. They let a lot of fires burn. And this is a story that we have all heard before, right? Like, this is not shocking. But to see this actually transform this person's business in such a short amount of time, it was a really good kick in the pants for me to think about allocation of resources. And that's the one we're going to start with here. Where are you investing in? Hey, Andrew here with a quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to Alex from poppyscrubs.com, where they sell, not shockingly, medical scrubs. And I actually met Alex when he was running global e-commerce for Specialize, and he since then started poppyscrubs.com with his co-founder. And here's what he had to say about being a part of e-commerce Fuel, our vetted community for 7- and 8-figure store owners.
Just the sheer breadth of experience that all the members have. So whenever I'm searching for another partner, another piece of software, or another like warehouse or fulfillment partner, ECF provides a really great pool of experts who've tried a lot of the popular options out there, can help steer depending on the goals of my business. So I don't waste time, you know, shopping or trying software or agencies that may not be right for me.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7- or 8-figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. I don't think we think about this enough. So much of what we do depends on where we are spending our time. I think maybe if we're lucky once a year, we think about this. Maybe the really intentional people think about it, you know, a couple times a year. But this is the biggest thing. Your job as owner is to think about where to spend your time and your money and your focus. And like even e-commerce Fuel, I was thinking about this, you know, coming off a year kind of not charging, excited to dive back into it. I need to sit back down and spend, I almost want to go like, you know, go rent an Airbnb somewhere for 2 days and reimagine the business from the ground up. What is important, how we run events, you know, because a lot of times I love ECF Live. We just did an amazing event. It was so much fun to see people. But if I'm very open and honest about it, I was talking about my team, at least one member of my team this week. We kind of go, we hire some speakers, we throw a party, we bring people in. We have very important kind of cultural things that we do. We want to have high quality speakers as best we can. We especially want to have high quality people. That's like probably the most important thing. We try not to be cheap. So we try to have, you know, like open bars at the parties. We try to have good food. We try not to do it in, you know, rundown places. We have these things. But when you think about why are we doing this, how are we making decisions about how we structure this party in terms of the goals of our company? It's, you know, it's a little bit of a plan and pray kind of approach. And I need to get better at that. How are we spending our time? Same thing with onboarding and what we're doing in the forums and how we're really focusing our efforts as a small team. So allocation of resources, I think this is a huge one that I think is important to think more about and I need to think more about. And again, I'm saying all these because as you are, probably didn't tee this up very well, as you are torn in a million different directions, these are the things I think that you should really be focused on and use as, you know, kind of that, you know, that filtering mechanism. Do I want to spend time here or can these things fall through the cracks? Vision, where are you going? Obviously, this one comes before allocation of resources. I think it's funny when you think about vision and goals. I think it's less important to hit certain goals, especially like 10-year out goals. Whenever we do that EOS, a lot of people that are listening probably are familiar with or on EOS. And they have this exercise where you map out where you want to be in 10 years. I always have disliked that exercise. I think a 5-year at the most goals are really important. But 10 years out, how do you know what you want to be doing in 10 years? I mean, think about how much has changed in the last 2 years with you as a person, with technology in general. So I think less important than the 10-year goals is like, what are the priorities you're focusing on? What are the habits you're going to be investing in as a company? And how do you offer the most value? But that vision is really important to set. I just think the longer stages are sometimes a little ridiculous. So vision is a huge one to think about, and also revisiting it, because I can't remember who said it recently. I think it was actually one of the speakers at UCF Live. It was Curtis from Portland Leather. We'll talk about, again, more in depth next week. But one of his big things was, you should reinvent your business every 2 to 3 years. And while I don't completely agree with that, I think you really need to take a hard look in the mirror at least every couple of years about, is what we have been doing the last 2 years still line up with the exact needs of our members, of our customers, of who we are serving? How does our team look in terms of that? How we're delivering the product, does that make the most sense? Because things change a lot and you have to constantly be reinventing. So vision is number two. Culture, the best way I have heard culture described, because there's so much woo-woo talk about culture. I was talking to someone recently who sold to, they were talking about a company that they knew was not probably going to do, you know, they had some doubts about because they had, I don't know, like 24 core values or something like that. And it's like, if you want a recipe for not committing to anything, have 24 core values. So culture is what, the best description I've heard about culture is what you tolerate. I have let more people go over the last 18 to 24 months of my business career than I have in the rest of, you know, the other 13 or 14 combined. And I think that's one of the hugest things as a owner to be able to do, is to be able to make those hard decisions based on culture and refining it and changing it too. There's definitely phases, and again, in the business, going back to reinventing, where culture in the early days is not the same as what culture looks like down the road. Anyway, I think that's a huge one. Having those hard conversations with your team when you need to. Constantly looking at your core values and seeing which ones still reflect who you are as an entrepreneur, who you are as an organization, and which ones need to be changed. And getting people out of the organization that aren't a great fit for that. So culture is a huge one. And again, not setting it once and then leaving, but continue to reevaluate it. I'm going to stop talking about culture because, again, I think this is something that is a little woo-y, and I think it's important, but also people get preached at in very vague terms a lot of times, and I don't want to be guilty of that. Hiring, you know, this is one from a CEO, and I would say, I mean, you can maybe get to the point where you have other people hiring, and depending on the position, you can outsource some of this, but I don't know. I would argue that if you're under 50 people, you should be at a bare minimum sitting in on the final interviews for your candidates, or even the secondary to final interviews for your candidates, and weighing in on those decisions. And it's hiring. One thing I've come to believe deeply about hiring over the last couple of years is the only way you're going to know how they're going to work out is to test. So get people in as quickly as possible. And I've mentioned this before, but I think I've done a 180 on hiring from your personal network. I think the most important things in a position are attitude, integrity, and those kind of things are difficult to suss out even in 2 or 3 or 4 interviews. The only way you know is you're going to get them in the position. And you can get a sense of those. You can cheat on those and get actually understanding who the person is if you have references that you trust. And the best way to do that is through your personal network. So when I think about my team, I think 80% of them are former entrepreneurs, which is pretty cool. And I think, you know, I think actually finding people with that mentality is really valuable. Actually, I think trying to poach people from agencies, or maybe if they have a business and they're kind of burnt out on it, you know, bringing them into the fold with a level of autonomy, but also a little more security is a really interesting play as well. Anyway, a lot there, but hiring is one of your core competencies. I think it's really important as a CEO. Ensuring financial viability. This is one that still, I mean, I'm a financial geek. I was talking to another financial geek at UCF Live, and when you're in the middle, like when something is something you've done for a while, you kind of take for granted that everyone else likes it and enjoys it. And that's just not the case. And you may not enjoy finances. You may not enjoy really doing cash flow forecasting and understanding your inventory forecasting and looking at your P&L and cash flow statement, all this kind of stuff. But if you don't have a competent understanding of the financial workings of your business, you're in for a world of hurt coming up. You don't have to be a CFO that's professionally trained, but you do need to understand. And I would say, like, even if you do have accountants, or, you know, a small CFO. Like this is just table stakes for anyone running a business. So again, not going to spend a ton of time here, but I'd probably say a quarter of people that are running businesses that I chat with just don't understand deeply how these things all work. Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs is a great book on getting this, or even just spending, you know, a couple, 2, 3, 4 hours on YouTube or talking to your accountant. You gotta own this area. So those are the five that Eamon mentioned. In the show notes, I'll post the LinkedIn comment or kind of post he originally shared on this, as well as links to his, where you can follow him. Again, strongly recommend him. He's the stuff he puts out is phenomenal. I would add a couple, at least one or two more. The last one, actually probably just one. The last one I would add is this: the owner needs to be, to take responsibility for kind of the PR, the face, and the high-level marketing of smaller companies. So, I mean, if you are, again, I don't know where the cutoff is. I don't know if it's 25 or 50, but marketing is really hard to do. And even professionals, like professionally, ad buying, you know, is maybe a little bit easier, but just general ownership over marketing, I feel like that's not something you can just outsource to a CMO and assume that they're going to do well. You know, I think, you know, if you're under 25 people, I think you should probably be the CMO and maybe have a director of marketing or someone that's, or people, 2 or 3 people that are doing specific things. But I think under 25 people, that is a core competency, at least from an oversight perspective, of the CEO. And even apart from just raw marketing, whether we're talking ad campaigns or direct response, or I think PR and thought leadership. Think about the iPhone, right? Who presents the iPhone, or at least at a bare minimum, who is out there welcoming people? It was Steve Jobs. It's Tim Cook. Maybe they have people, they're definitely going to have people come out and talk about their areas of competency. But the main person is the CEO putting that public face on the company. I think that's huge. So those, again, I'll say them one more time just for the sake of clarity: vision, culture, hiring, allocation of resources, ensuring financial viability, and potentially some CMO or marketing oversight, at least owning the outcomes there. Anything else that's not falling in those categories, I think is stuff that, like my friend who got really ruthless about ignoring things and saw his business double, the more you can ignore those and make sure you have people in the right seats in the other places, then you're going to be seeing your outcomes and your effectiveness just increase exponentially. So finally, last thing I want to add here, how do you make sure you actually do this? I did an episode, I don't know, 9 months ago about setting up a schedule, how to think about that. One of my goals this year, I'm not sure if I'm going to pull it off, but it is a goal, especially coming off the gap year, is if I can, I feel like my goal is to work 25 hours per week, but to truly work 25 hours. And so that means not messing around on Facebook, not, you know, having 45-minute coffee conversations in the hallway, et cetera, but 25 true hours of work. And I think if I can do that, I think I can move the business meaningfully with a lot of intentionality and schedule. But you've got to be the key is intentional about it. And so put together a big spreadsheet of all the things that I think are important to do, given this little framework. And the hard part is trying to schedule those out every week while also having fluidity for having phone calls, also trying to slot them all together. It's actually, if you've got, you know, I have probably 15 to 18 different things, different time periods, it becomes this big puzzle. And I was working to try to get this all dialed in with some frustration. And then I was like, there's got to be a better way to do this. This is crazy. We live in this world of AI and we're sending rockets to space and this is nuts. I'm still doing this manually. And so I found this tool called reclaim.ai. No affiliation. I'm not going to give you some sleazy affiliate link or anything like that. But I've just been really still in the early phases of using it, but really impressed with it because you can go in there, set all of these rules for I want to do this X number of times per week or month. I only want to do it on these days or these days. You can set up booking links and say, hey, book my phone calls on Monday between Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, between noon and 5. But also move around other things. So if I originally have my email scheduled for 4, but I get a call booked at 4, move my email to 3. So it's smart, it's dynamic, it syncs up with your calendar really well, and still putting the final touches on it, but I've been impressed. And it's a very cool way to geek out on the scheduling and intentionality side, but without driving yourself absolutely bonkers. That's all I got. I also realize I sound a little bit like a chain smoker here because I just spent the last, you know, the recent last 3 or 4 days at ECF Live talking to a million people. I hope it's helpful. It's a little bit of a stream of conscious. Here's what's going on in life and thoughts on prioritization, but it's hard. I think the biggest thing too is like this stuff is, it's just, it is, again, going back to that book we talked about a little while before, 2000 hours. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. You're never going to get everything done. And so if you think about productivity as trying to fit everything in, you're going to fail. The important thing is thinking about how do you do the things that are really important in life. And hopefully this helps a little bit with that. So next week, I'm going to be joined, again, like I mentioned, by Bill. Looking forward to recapping the event. And everyone who came out to Bozeman, thank you for coming out. It was so good seeing everyone. It was, again, just a great time having everyone in Bozeman. The weather cooperated for us. It actually literally snowed 2 days after everyone left. Didn't stick, but I mean, we had a good, you know, hour of snow, which was kind of bonkers. But everything worked out super well. Excited to get into the details and takeaways and a little bit of reminiscing next week. And until then, thanks so much for listening. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life, head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.